intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, also joining from ndnation.com, Mike Coffey. Coffey, we'll start with you, as we always do, cordially to our guests. Are we in a situation where this is a must-win for Brian Kelly?
I don't know if I would call it a must-win. I don't know if this game, one way or the other, is going to have an effect on Brian Kelly's career long-term. I think, though, a win would definitely... Well, I don't know necessarily know if a win helps him, but I think a loss would hurt him. I mean, Pittsburgh is not necessarily very well thought of right now. They've looked mediocre at best in the games that they've played, and you know you've got them at home, and this is the point where we're going to want to see a little bit more consistency and improvement. So I don't think it's a must win, but I think a loss would not do Brian Kelly any favors.
Yeah, I would for the most part agree with you on that. Ed, what do you
think? Well, I mean, I don't think there's any such thing as must wins for Brian Kelly for this year and next year, maybe even his third year. I mean, this is Swarbrick's guy. He's made the call. I mean, the only thing that's going to derail Brian Kelly is some sort of a, you know, recruiting scandal or violation or something like this. I mean, this is his baby, and this is his ship, and he's going to steer it for at least 3 years before anybody, you know, seriously in the administration, at least we as fans, of course, will question every little thing that he does, you know, in game one and game 10 and game 20. But as far as must wins, I just don't think they exist with him for a while. And I don't think it really hurts him if he loses. I mean, it hurts him personally. It hurts maybe the morale of the team a little bit. It hurts if he listens to what fans say or what we say. I guess it hurts. But I think in the big picture, it doesn't hurt anything whether, you know, they go out and lay an egg or whatever. I mean, in terms of, I don't know what hurt means. Like, will he be ticked off? Yeah, he'll be ticked off because he hates losing. But will it hurt his position or will it hurt his job status? Not at all.
No, it's not going to hurt his job status. But I guess the question would be this. How do you explain 3 years ago Nebraska pretty much being nowhere near the college football elite, and yet now they're seventh in the country?
Well, I think...
Why can't we turn it around
He's you know, Bo Pelini's 26 games into it and Brian Kelly's 4 games into it. I don't know. You can, you know, I think obviously we think, you know, that everything has to happen tomorrow. That's kind of the way that, you know, things, you know, are set up. But I don't recall being, you know.
But we've been waiting 20 years for it to be turned around.
No, well, yeah, but you can go back and, you know, I mean, I think that every time a new head coach starts over, you're basically starting from scratch. So, yeah, I think you could, of course, say that, you know, Charlie was a disappointment and Ty was a disappointment and Davey was a disappointment. But they had, you know, anywhere from 3 in Ty's case to whatever, 5 or 6 in, you know, Davey and Charlie's case, years to do it, and they didn't get it done. So I don't think it's, I mean, I think you're talking apples and oranges. I mean, we're 4 games into the Brian Kelly era.
Yeah, we're definitely 4 games into it. But I would say in this situation, I mean, you would think, at least Coffey, looking at this, Pittsburgh's not the team that we thought they were going to be going into the season. Now, granted, they're playing Notre Dame, so we all know what happens. I mean, that's, you don't need any excuses to get up for a Notre Dame football game. However, on paper and looking at the situation as to where we're at, you'd like to think that Brian Kelly, if he is everything we were hoping he would be, would get a win this weekend.
Absolutely. I agree with you that in short term, nothing's going to happen. But the thing that I want to start seeing is this 20-plus years of experience or all of the positives that were reported about Brian Kelly when he was hired. I mean, the people talking about he's won everywhere he's been, he did this, he did that. I really don't see Notre Dame as being so far behind and in such bad shape right now that we should be losing bad games. And I suppose I can excuse the Michigan game. I can excuse the Michigan State game. The Stanford loss really bothered me. And granted, we won by double digits last week. And for the record, again, you predicted it and we did not. But I guess I'm waiting.
See, I feel kind of like the exact opposite. Like, the Stanford game didn't bother me. The Michigan State and Michigan games drove me crazy because those were winnable games. Stanford is clearly a better football team. I didn't think whether we lost, you know, as badly as we did to them, or we lost by a touchdown, or I mean, I just thought we were going to lose because they're just better and tougher and more along in the development of the identity of the program. I also think that Pittsburgh and Notre Dame right now are two pretty evenly matched teams. I mean, I don't think that we should necessarily think that Pittsburgh is a win just because, I mean, I think you could make a pretty good argument that their two losses were to two better teams than our two losses were to, or two of our three losses. We probably have a little, because Stanford kind of tips the schedule strength in our favor, but, you know, I think Miami is just as good or better than Michigan and Michigan State, and Utah is definitely just as good or better than Michigan or Michigan State. So, I think it's a pretty another kind of measuring stick game, and I actually expect the game to be closer than last week, probably significantly closer. I just think Pittsburgh's better than BC by a pretty good margin.
Oh, they definitely are. I mean, I think if this game was at Pittsburgh, I'd probably agree with you 100%. Being that it's at home,
we have no home field advantage, Mike. We have no home field advantage, zero.
Well, but they've talked about this the whole season, that this is their turf. This is how
well, that's
they have
talking,
to
but I mean they've shown absolutely no home. As a matter of fact, they're talking this week about how they play better on the road and they play better at night because there's fewer distractions and they are away from the fans and away from the pep rally and away from the Basilica and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, until somebody, you know, until they reel off six or seven home wins in a row, they're.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I think that more than anything, I'm not saying that this is a must-win, but this is, I guess the better argument would be, would this be a defining win? And I would argue it would be for the season, not for Brian Kelly's career, but clearly for the season. If they win Saturday against Pittsburgh, they're probably going to win their next three football games and head into the matchup with Utah in a much better situation with fans feeling a whole lot better about the season than they would be with a loss Saturday.
Yeah.
And a loss Saturday and then reeling off wins going into Utah isn't going to amount to a whole heck of a lot, as opposed to winning Saturday and reeling off wins heading into Utah. Mm-hmm. And then that game doesn't become a must win at all. That's simply more an opportunity game.
I mean, I just
Brian
think
Kelly.
We got to set our go. Sorry, Mike, go ahead. Coffee.
I think this is an opportunity, if only because the next three games really are not opportunities to show us anything. If they win big, well, I mean, they're against crappy teams or teams against which Notre Dame is expected to win big. I think what this game gives Brian Kelly is an opportunity to show us something before we get into this stretch, to show us that there is some progress being made. So on November 13th, when Utah comes to town, this game will probably do a lot more to shape our expectations of that game than any of the three that follow it.
I don't know if I agree with that, because I think that each game in and of itself is a step along the way. And you've got to, you know, listen, there is one of the things that this program has had trouble with is, I mean, we're just kind of like saying, Western Michigan, Tulsa, Navy, those are W's and easy W's just because. I think that each week is a challenge. I think that each week is a challenge to you know, play, you know, up to their own capabilities. Forget about the opponent for a second. Instead of playing, because we've played down to the competition, and we haven't done a very good job of playing up to the competition in recent years. So I would say that the only defining win that I see on this schedule and I would have said this, you know, before the season started, to me, is a defining win is USC in LA, and that, I mean, that's to me the closest thing that we have to have a defining win this year, even though, you know, they might be out of the top 20 when we play them or whatever. I mean, to me, we got to set the standard back up. A defining win is playing a top 10 team. I mean, we haven't done that, much less a ranked team, you know, in a long time. So let's start kind of resetting the bar to a defining win playing a big-time major program with big-time talent, which USC still has, although they may have, you know, a year, you know, who knows what their year is going to turn out to be, or a top 10 team or a BCS team. I mean, that should be a Pittsburgh in the middle of October, you know, who has already lost twice. You know, I just don't see how that becomes a defining win.
Well, I don't know if it would be a defining win, but if nothing else, it's an indicator win. It's an indicator that maybe the pluses and things that were said that were, well, not promised, but that were selected as supposedly beneficial when Brian Kelly was hired can actually come to fruition. Because at some point, even though we haven't looked good recently, we need to start looking good. And I think it's I don't think it's a good thing to say, well, we're just going to write this season off. And I know you're not saying that, but I want to see the point at this season when it seems that the light is coming on and when the players are really starting to get it. And that's what this game is an opportunity to show, because if they do well in this game and play well and execute against a decent team, then they've really shown us something. They've shown us that they're in position to do something, as opposed to kicking the crap out of Western Michigan or anything like that, where it's really not going to do much for us because, you know, we're supposed to kill those teams.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because if you execute really well against Western Michigan and Tulsa and Navy, which is not going to be easy because it's a whole different kind of game. I mean, I think that you could do just as much for your team's confidence and for the rest of the season as you will by getting a break in the fourth quarter and beating Pittsburgh by a field goal. But you know, having, you know, not necessarily having a great game execution wise or making some mistakes or whatever. I mean, if you play an error-free football game and beat Tulsa, you know, 45-7, I think that gets you just as much as, you know, beating Pitt in different ways, granted, in different ways. But I just think that each week is its own little kind of play, its own little kind of chapter, its own little kind of, and I know I'm starting to sound like, you know, this, you know, like the stuff that Brian Kelly was talking about, but it's just, it's its own, there are certain things that you got to do every week, and doesn't matter if the opponent is lousy or the opponent is good. We don't have the luxury of, you know, of kind of like saying we're going to roll over people, because we just haven't. So I'd be, you know, it's, to me,
yeah,
it's just win the
agree.
Game, and then how do you look? And I agree with Coffee, right, that maybe the how you look part is a little bit more interesting, you know, in a game against Tulsa or Western Michigan, because you should win that game, and you pay a little bit more attention to how you won and individual performances, and it's, you kind of take for granted that it's going to be a W. But I guess I just don't take anything for granted anymore. You know,
we know he's building the program and he's doing all those kinds of things, and there's pains along the way as you do it. I think the frustration level or the anxiety for Notre Dame fans is it's a totally different situation when you walk in with a football team that does clearly have some talent, has some abilities at the skilled positions, and we're not strong all the way up and down on both sides of the football field, but there clearly are enough strengths there that you'd like to see the kind of progress and wins pile up this season against the teams that we should win. And, you know, whether it's, you know, going from one regime to the next, the fact is, this is a guy that is totally capable of coaching a football team to success. He's proven it. And he's got a decent set of football players. This is not Notre Dame in the Ty Willingham era where we literally just didn't recruit the kind of kids that should have been here. These are, as we've seen, as reported, 4- and 5-star kids, or at least an average of the top 5 in the nation. So you'd think that by this point in the season that you'd see some of that start to shine through, and maybe we will see it Saturday. I mean, I kind of hope we will. I'd like to see us start turning the corner where guys are becoming more and more and more confident in the program, in the the play calling, in the facets of the game that we need to be. And that's what we want to see. I mean, that's what we're hoping to see. It just seems like there's that edge that's missing that hasn't been there just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's especially evident on offense, and I think that's, a function of it's a quarterback-centric offense, and he's learning, and we're kind of, learning along with him as we watch and stuff. On defense, it's a function a little bit more of the athletes. And I also think they're really unlearning on defense, I think, some bad habits. They're just unlearning things.
Yeah. Their tackling has been much
better.
I mean, yep. There's no doubt about that. Notre Dame is totally tackling a lot better than they have in the past. That's been one key thing. What about Coffey? I'm kind of a little disappointed as well on that. We haven't really seen the big plays made by the likes of Michael Floyd, by Kyle Rudolph, by Armando Allen. I mean, we just haven't seen those exceptional plays.
96 yards is a pretty decent sized play.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than that, it would have been nice if they would have waited about a minute with the clock run.
Exactly.
Down in that game,
I wish he would have ran to the end zone as the clock ran out.
Well, I don't know. As I said, I would like to start seeing those things. I think part of the issue is you have a quarterback who's a little bit dinged up, and if Dane Crist is unable or unwilling to run the ball, it really takes a huge dimension out of that offense. Because if he's in a two-back set with Armando Allen, and the defense has a reasonably good idea that Dane Crist is not going to run the ball, they can just key off on what Allen does, and it makes it a lot easier to defend him. We're not necessarily going to see those plays. I think if we can open the dimensions of the offense up a little bit, it increases the chances we're going to see the kind of plays we want to see.
But, I was thinking about that today because somebody else has, that's kind of – I've heard that a couple times now. But it's not like Tony Pike was a running quarterback or had anywhere near the mobility as, he was more of a stat – certainly less of a – athlete in my mind, less of a ability to run than Crist. And obviously the second guy that they the backup that finished the year at Cincinnati, Caleros or whatever, was more of a runner. But it's not like they weren't scoring points in bunches and just ripping off touchdowns and 1 minute drives and stuff with Tony Pike. And I'd be willing to bet, if you look at the statistics, that he didn't gain more than 20 yards rushing and in any games, maybe a couple scrambles or whatever, but I certainly don't think you would put him in the spread category of the quarterback at Nebraska or anything close to that. I mean, he to me is more of a kind of a 6'5", 220-pound stand back there and throw it quarterback.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's too bad that we here at Dome and Domer don't have the kind of clout where we can call the sports information director and get an interview with Brian Kelly. But I do think that what would be really interesting to talk to him about would be, hey, where do you see things right now with the progress with your quarterback and Dane Crist, with the progress with your key players on offense and how they are adapting to this new style of football and the progress that you've seen with your previous teams, five games into the season? Is this to be expected? Is this what you thought? Because I think that would... that would definitely shed some light on, and I do think that Brian Kelly clearly is in a situation where, and I'm just stating what I think to be the obvious fact here, but guys didn't shoot for you when you're at Cincinnati. When you're at Notre Dame, teams shoot for you. They're going to have assistants and others spending a little bit more time putting the game plan together against Notre Dame than they are gonna against other teams that they have on their schedule. I mean, that's just
you really think so, Mike? I just don't believe that.
you know, I do. I think players get up for it. I think every time you see an interview with whether it's a Stanford quarterback or anybody, it's something a little bit more special.
Yeah, but I don't think that. Well, that may be, but I don't think the coaches work any harder, or I don't think they game plan any different, or I don't think they work any harder. I mean,
oh, I definitely think they do.
I think they do because it's a marquee game for them. It's a big deal from a recruiting standpoint, not only to say that you're going to play Notre Dame, but that you beat them. I mean, it adds to the whole package there. I mean, it's clearly...
Well, and I would say this, a couple times in the first 3 weeks, like especially after the Michigan game and after the Michigan State game, and maybe a little bit after the Stanford game, Brian Kelly was saying in his press conferences that they were kind of surprised because they had because Michigan State and Michigan had done some things that they hadn't seen on the film. They had held some things back. I don't think anyone ever held anything back for the Central Michigan game. No one ever held anything back for the Cincinnati game. Usually, when a team came in to play Brian Kelly at his previous two stops, they had pretty much shown what they were going to show. I can guarantee you that both Michigan and Michigan State held some things back out of their first games, not only because they weren't playing tough teams and didn't need to show it, but they wanted something special for Notre Dame to increase the chances they were going to win, and it really concerned me that Brian Kelly was shocked by that.
I don't.
Do you think Ed? Do you think Donato would have a heart attack playing Minnesota?
Oh yeah, I mean I don't. You can't tell me that those two, that the Michigan and Michigan State staffs aren't working shorter hours this week leading up into their game between 2-5-0 teams. And
no,
the other thing
I would agree with
that,
Ed.
You know, I mean, there's no way that both Pitt and Cincinnati didn't have a couple wrinkles for their game last year, you know, at the end of the year, that with so much on the line. I mean, I just think that we as Notre Dame fans kind of get wrapped up in our own aura sometimes and think that it's somehow some kind of a different game. I mean, we haven't been, you know, I mean, it just hasn't – If our aura is something to, you know, to do special things for, well, we've got beaten by plain vanilla, you know, offenses and nothing particularly unique or challenging, you know, pretty handily. I mean, I don't know. I just don't buy that. Do you get a little bit extra excitement as a player playing and coming to Notre Dame Stadium and playing, or you know, if you were a kid, Catholic kid or something, and you always want to go to Notre Dame and you didn't get recruited by them and you're at BC now or something like that? Yeah, of course, but I don't necessarily think that the preparation or the game planning or any of the strategic stuff is any different for Notre Dame. Maybe the level of kind of emotion might be, but in terms of just the actual technical aspects of it, of getting ready, you know, I'd be pretty surprised if there was any evidence of that.
Well, I would. The clear indication of that would be the guys that do prepare for these kind of games that come into Notre Dame, the assistants and so forth, when they sit around with their buddies having a beer, do you think they talk about that game a little more than the other ones? I mean, it's something that it's a feather in your cap is what it is. You stuck it to Notre Dame, and it just goes with the territory. Notre Dame's on NBC every single week when it's a home game. Even 20 years into this, with as lousy as we've played, we still have that aura where we're on national TV. I mean, what other teams get that? And so from a coaching standpoint, I mean, it's only natural that from a competitor standpoint, you know, that's going to play into it. It's going to have a little bit more to it than playing, you know, Minnesota or whoever else.
I think it also depends on kind of like what the result is. I mean, when all is said and done, you're right. These coaches are going to look back on the Notre Dame games this year, at least, because they were great games. But I don't think the last couple of years, when you know Michigan, or the you know whatever, how many years ago when Michigan beat us 38-7 and USC beat us 38-7 and you know whoever beat us 38-7, I don't think those games are going to be very memorable for those coaches and players, because they're going to have had other games that year against other rivals that were close or exciting or got them into a conference championship or got them into a BCS game, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan State or USC and UCLA or USC and Ohio State or whatever. I mean, I think it's you're those games, you know, the outcome of those games and the quality of the opponent, that's what you remember later on, is, you know, was it a big deal in terms of, I don't, you know, but I, it's, you're right. There was probably a time in our history where it was circled on everybody's schedule. And I think it can be again, but you know, I don't know.
We're going a little long on this show, but Coffee, you and I will have some time next week to convince Ed where he's wrong. And unfortunately, we don't have enough time tonight to get into this, but we'll leave it at that. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffee, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.